Good evening and a warm welcome to the service this evening. Evening, Kirsty. Have a seat. Nice to see you, Grace. We'll hear from you in just a minute or two. A warm welcome to everyone who's here. Good to see some who are visiting as well, and you're especially welcome. The notice sheet you received this morning, and you've seen the notices on the screen before the service began. The only thing I was going to say was just to remind the YF people that the primary sevens are also welcome to YF this evening and for the month of June, just in advance of them coming into the YF. So, take a note of that, and if the congregation could be praying for the work of the YF, it's a really important work. And there's great encouragements just now in it, I think. So let's keep praying for our young folk in the Sunday School and the Youth Fellowship and through all the ages. The rest of the intimations you can read at your own convenience, and I'll not go through them just now. Let's begin our time of worship and let's sing to God's praise from Psalm 1. Psalm 1 and the first two verses of Psalm 1 in Gaelic. Psalm 1 and the first two verses of the Psalm in Gaelic. Tonight we're turning to Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 1. And we see there in that book the emphasis and the importance of being in God's word and not deviating from God's word, his law, meditating upon God's word and following his course. And so we sing the first two stanzas of Psalm 1 in Gaelic. That man hath perfect blessedness, who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinners' way, nor sitteth in the scorner's chair, but placeth his delight upon God's law and meditates on his law day and night. So we'll sing these two verses of Psalm 1, and then after that, Donald McSween will come and lead us in prayer in Gaelic, please.
Gaelic, please. никогда мы не намедяем. Это золото. Ниги улыграс варегас улымяны. Погыни кармей нескаши, чинкола дихеле, а ниня не тэри ашо. Кимихи улэт фахкал, мяны кития. Эт фескар Аллах, акунат кайна, карашо Аллах, ят лаган чахканя, нагедит крест. Агас кавеля пьо нох. Агас ишер нурни, кава моха гаке. Кавеля он симян, кола дыня рери гали. Ани кяла я некасан хафир, агас хашисбах. Мора на шарс, на шисбеке. Нахани кяла я накан. Нах похоргань машани гевяных тебе тангал. Карана коди свог, акиро иртис агас. Тлах кана ви криоху кола ди хели нанам. Агас кана кири эрам аштаху гибиши ас кюнка харамелла. Арешима ахти гизенет. Аун севел тэнья криня ди нескарса. Агас атанан кахат фанет лухкун спош. Ах харасалами кири кабагах текасин анашанитер. Арвайсеке нахроянам Христа, ах кавиеде стамба фана касан, ас нехенета наше. Агас шер нурни и нох ег расвар. Кби нахачики наши неда фалахы, агас тахен ори хе неда дьяны. Эт фескар талана, ла хонры кювейн сухуд вадьи, агас ушты кровекам на лана гуртеер. Машани гевяны чехуны не иванеску. Ана сана вахкемахи. Эртахой. Ана вахчемихилы. Эткахни асабитонью кудала висас натана. Шердурни. Но не вяны че нахпишине эмилю. Калганы никичиц. Нахан пиоэ клахки. Нахан тоин. Эвишине толедор. Ах, моха гадине махакнет кьеста, эгэс хафалам сашня сэнэш. Аргэши чинчинана, тоэн сана кумиянуна мянэчэс, тат кумиян орнэн. Ах, марэр кьеста нар крия, ашин хафалам. Сашни кьери машан кбиатики нар пэ, эгэс кбиатэда махтару, эгэс ухума глотэн. Шешок, тия хара яр крухи, тия глора хугасы мятын кушьёры. Ар хаши фаёхан, спеши фаёхан капрах, кадо гамах кэн хун кабгана ипош, эда санья. Ани каган тюхыл маллана панах, ими ха конди слоган тюхылгас, афаскала хрин кэси, ваой эда нахч муабаса хабашит. Асарует Аллах Хисам Найрум, Багас Нарнахтя. Сасек, Вашкабани, Никичине Тахар. Абхтоха, Саунаху, Нединескарс. Асек, Ваштош, Туфала. Ханил Маханис, Диют. Нох, Кагин, Ябуа, Ябеке. Эспаси, Веседуай. Кранкеси, Хефала. Нуай, Гандахудете, Хайфала. Ема, Нуай, Ябашин, Санталаб. Фасклыны хуэдэн торшт, эгэс эшнили калэммах, аха нохкэгэ хуахкэ, эгэс нохкэгэ анабэняхкэгэня. Шни гиори бэкнаврэгэ, шмарэджи, агад кумалсуэс кахла, кэбьяныхи тэкэхэ, эрэгэ вэдэ хумалнатанэмэн джугэ, фьэгэнды гэгэр, кучахкэгэну мьяныхи, эс кул торшм тэунтэ, лэмэ юхэш, Ахашин тангали кевьяныхи нах кумптарестунджа усыпаны голосчах, начина мах. Ахана тоша нах кустит тунджа для йокола найча. Апохогунью кевьяныхи витангали шона эндхуш нехе гулох горне, снехенеты насыбел нахчин кониак. Ахна ликлынью витьёхайнаха, ахтихене лефегендыгр. Сегэсмада. Хайюри, кто шахна кэнью, шни курни, шона нойкри. Аке эдисуэс малэнэн кэвяны. Als je nu koning hebt, dan gaat de kleding en wissel heen in als de hinderten. Als je bij de kroning hebt, dan heb je in doos, dan heb je laag naar beneden. En als je bij het haas, ik geef die soes, kom je naar Fianisch en Follischo. Na de hamber en de taler, heb je bij een nachtje koning. Na bij het jeugd heen en in je. A chai chyrwch pan y lai yn y loig, na nach i yn ygys, a na ar heglwys yn sas na sgort yn saf. A ta yn gynnu sy'n y lopyd at y hynny ti anna, gyfi yn loig grieis hynny yn yl anna ygys yn y togol sŵws, a na ygol yn gyrn. Di anna chi gyd cynnu chi gyd yn ysgwrs. Hwyl yn iach le hwy chi yn he, a chai yw sy chi yn awn an ysgw. Cwm sŵws y drama tyllt siar. Nám ik wil zich in kruijen stoelen. Die hele keuter aan mijn handen gelijk in als je. Ska was lijm in je leven. Ska bij je mogen van. Ga nog hulle heen hebben. Ska bij je kraatje en kebemagin. En die aan de show. Kro als je mogen van. Kro laag het gedeest. Dus ik bij je tjacht in de mogen van. Ik wil aan de hese ploegen. Maak je het kind. Ska gedeest. Amen.
Joshua chapter 1, and we'll read the whole of the chapter. I used to have nightmares when I was sometimes thinking about being in church. One of the nightmares I would have was when you were sitting in church and you had an elder either side of you, and you got told to turn to the book, and you'd be looking desperate for the book, and you thought you knew what it was in the Bible, but the more you turned the pages, the more it wasn't there. Just so you know, you all seemed to find Joshua quite quickly, but I had to wait for a wee while for the elders in the front row to turn to the right page. It's in the Old Testament. Joshua chapter 1, and reading from verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, and all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God has given you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until later you have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God has given them. After that you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, east of Jordan, towards the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, "Whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." Amen, and may God bless to us that reading of his word. It's good to have Grace with us tonight, Grace from InterServe. And I know that you've known Grace and InterServe for a lot longer than I have. How many years have you been coming?
13.
Up you come, actually, Grace. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. You're very welcome. You've been coming here for how many years now?
13.
13 years. And I know that the congregation here is at a long link with InterServe. I think that the prayer meeting, the ladies only prayer meeting, the one that Angus McKellar got expelled from after three attempts to join them. The ladies prayer meeting's been going for how many years, Ina?
Over 50 years.
Over 50 years.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So there's been a long connection with InterServe. And I know you've been coming back and forth here for a good number of years. I just wondered if it might be possible for you to say a wee bit to us just about the work of InterServe just now, things that we can be praying about in the wider work and within your own sphere, and then we'll have a word of prayer. I know you're going to speak to the Youth Fellowship. Well, I know that you're going to come along to the YF tonight, and we'll I'm sure have you speak a wee bit to them, and you spoke to the Sunday School this morning. I might quiz the Sunday School on what you were saying within the sermon. So thank you for doing that, and maybe just give us a wee insight, and then we'll pray for that work in a minute.
Great. Most of you will know that InterServe is basically a mission agency, and we seek to serve the church both here and in Asia and the Arab world. We're concerned about making Jesus known, particularly in Asia and the Arab world. And those are some of the hard places where you've got some of the key religions in the world. I think the thing is that the need is so great. It's not new to be saying to you that we have been blessed to be a blessing to the nations. We're not meant to just sit and receive. It's about being able to take Jesus to the ends of the earth. And that's really what InterServe is all about. There are lots of mission agencies, but it's just been a privilege to have a relationship with you all these years. And we're very grateful, Aina, to you and the prayer group within InterServe for all the prayer support that has come from here. It's fantastic. So the need is still great. There are still, it's just over half of the world's people groups have the ability to hear the gospel in their own language and through their own culture. And you know how important language is to people, to be able to hear the gospel in your own language. And in this day and age, you would think, you would imagine that with all the technology and ability that we have, that shouldn't be the case. Surely every people group, surely every language in the world now must have heard the gospel in their own mother tongue. But that's not the case. It's only just over half. We've still got a long way to go. So really, we can never have enough people going. And the exciting thing now is that many of the people that go are a bit like this reading from Joshua, being strong and courageous. They're going from countries that we would, like Africa and India and Korea, rather than Western countries, but we still have a part to play. So we need people to go. And the other exciting thing is that Asia and the Arab world is coming to Scotland. And we shouldn't really see that as a threat. We should see it as an opportunity. We get a chance to meet people from the Asia and the Arab world without going anywhere and being friends with them and being able to share the gospel with them. So that's an exciting opportunity. And that's one of the things that would be great for us to pray for. That Interserve in Scotland, we, at the moment, what we would really like is to have some missionaries that come from other countries and Scotland to work in Scotland with the Asians and Arabs that come here. That's a new thing. Traditionally, we found people from churches in Scotland and sent them overseas. But now, perhaps this is a bit scary. It's quite easy for us to go to Glasgow or Stornoway or wherever to work with Asian Arab world without having to go too far. And that's one of the... My role has changed a bit in Interserve. I used to be the National Director for Scotland and Ireland, but a year ago we merged with England and Wales and we've become Interserve Great Britain and Ireland. And I didn't particularly want... Well, I didn't think God was asking me to go and live and work in Milton Keynes, that I get to stay in Scotland. So I've become the person for Interserve in Scotland. We have a small office, but no other staff. I'm it. And so part of my job is to encourage this work of working with Asia and the Arab world in Scotland. Part of my work is encouraging churches and individuals to be involved. And part of my work is encouraging Interserve supporters. And that's part of the reason why I come to Harris, because I would like the ladies Interserve prayer group to feel that they're not on their own and to feel encouraged. So I would appreciate prayer for all of those things. My work with the Interserve supporters, my work with the churches, and developing the Asian Arab world ministry. But on a much bigger picture, basically we need a lot more people to be going to the ends of the earth.
Thank you, Grace. Thank you very much for that. And we will pray. I know that there has been much prayer over the years. Let's pray for a moment just now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to come to you this evening and to call you our Father. We thank you for the privilege of being instructed and taught how to pray through the words of Jesus, which have been recorded and preserved and passed down to us in our own language, a language that we can understand. We thank you that we have the clarity of the gospel and the Bibles that we have in front of us and in print form and apps and all kinds of different media. We are so fortunate, Lord, and so blessed to have such great opportunity to open your word and to meet together without fear of anyone disrupting this meeting. And we confess, Lord, often we take that for granted. We pray, Lord, that we would not take it for granted this evening, but that we would be truly thankful and feel that real sense of privilege of all that you have given to us. But Lord, we remember this evening that there are many who do not have the privileges that we have. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us and guide us as we would seek to continue praying for them. We thank you, Lord, for those that you have burdened in a special way to pray for these specific people groups. We thank you for the work of Interserve in particular. And Lord, as they seek to reach out to the Arab and Asian world, as they seek to go to and to pray for and to minister in what is recognized as hard places and amongst hard groups of people in terms of their response to the gospel, Lord, we pray that you would guide them. We pray that you would lead them. We pray that you would encourage them. We pray that they would be effective, and Lord, that you would use them for your glory, so that those whose eyes have previously been closed and whose hearts have been hardened to the message of the gospel would, through the power of the Holy Spirit, have their hearts opened and their eyes opened and their ears unblocked, so that they would see and and hear and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for all those that you are closing in on, in countries far from us, and many who are settled in our own localities and our own countries, and who have not yet heard or understood the gospel. Lord, we pray that you would use InterServing, those other mission organizations that we can think of, to reach out with that message. We thank you, Lord, for Grace, and we pray your blessing upon her. We thank you that you have given her this role to be an encourager. And we ask, Lord, that you would help her with that. We pray that she would know daily the encouragement of your hand upon her, that she would know daily the sense of the encourager, the Holy Spirit, giving her all that she needs to be able to do what you have called her to. So bless, Lord, the work of InterServe. Open up, we pray, countries and hearts that are needing so desperately to hear the message of the gospel. And open up, Lord, we pray, the hearts of many in our own nation, as though some other nations who once we brought the gospel to are returning to these shores to remind us of what we once told them. So hear our prayers. Work, we pray, Lord, for your glory, for the building of your church. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing again to God's praise. Book of Joshua, and we'll hopefully look at chapter 1 this evening, maybe a bit further than that. Some people, when they read a book, I think I've said this to you before, some people, when they read a book, they get into the story, they pick the book up, they read chapter 1, they start to get into the story, they start to get to know something of the characters, and they begin to be gripped by the plot of the story. And somebody very well known to me does this, and she'll read the first few pages, see her kind of really get into the book, and then I'll see her flicking right through the book, not looking at any of the pages, to the very last chapter, and she'll look at the last chapter and just read the last few paragraphs to see how the story ends. And you look perplexed, and so is I. But that's the way some people approach a book. They read the beginning, get gripped, then they go to the end just to make sure the story ends well, so they don't have 300 pages of reading only to find that they're disappointed in the last chapter. That's not my general approach to a book, but it's the way I want to approach actually the book of Joshua tonight. I want us to look at the first chapter, and then I'd like us to look at the last few verses in the book of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24. And the reason that I want us to do this is not in order that we'll come to a decision on whether or not it would be a good thing for us to read the book. This is God's word. So every chapter of God's word, every book of God's word is good for us to study. The reason I want us to go from the beginning to the very end is just so that we'll get a sense of perspective from the outset, and we'll get some kind of idea where the book is going. I'm not sure we'll go all the way through it in one chunk, but it's good for us to know the theme and what direction this book is going. So we'll begin in Joshua chapter 1 and at verse 1. And the first title that we come to as we structure our thoughts is the book begins with a death. Not just a death, but it begins with the death. The book is begun with verse 1, where it's reported immediately of the death of Moses. In chapter 1, verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Now, if you want to get a wee bit more detail on that, then flick from Joshua, just go back a few pages to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 gives us the headline. Deuteronomy 34 gives us a paragraph underneath the headline. And at verse 7 of chapter 34, it says there, Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Some deaths stop a whole nation in their tracks. Some deaths kind of pass by and we hear little about them. But there are some deaths that stop a whole nation in their tracks. I was trying to think back over my lifetime and thinking of some of the deaths that had that kind of an impact. And the one that most readily comes to mind is the death of Princess Diana. I can remember precisely where I was, what I was doing, what time it was in the day when the news broke that she was dead. It was a huge deal. It had a massive impact on the nation and on the whole Western world. And for Israel, the death of Moses was a huge deal. Moses was no ordinary prophet in their own minds and estimation. He didn't just have a small cameo role to play in Israel's history. There was no known comparable to Moses. Still in Deuteronomy chapter 34, look at verse 10. We're given a wee bit more just on the gravitas of Moses. It says, since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders of the Lord, wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to the whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. That gives us a picture just of the sense of loss that there must have been at the passing of Moses. Moses led a nation through incredibly difficult times. And with Moses' death, the whole of the nation of Israel ground to a halt. The whole nation grieved. Because their leader, the one who started in such a timid, reluctant way, but went on to do such amazing, miraculous signs and wonders and awesome deeds, the one who stood against Pharaoh and led them in their standing against Pharaoh, the one who knew the Lord face to face, he was dead. And this death was a monumental death. It was a death that shook all Israel. And so that's the context here. We want to know, what was Joshua walking into in chapter 1, verse 1? He was living in the midst of a time and a context that was bleak. The nation, with the death of Moses, were shell-shocked. There would have been a tangible sense of loss of Moses and of the hope and stability that they seemed to get through Moses. There likely was a mood of despair and gloom hanging over Israel. But into that context, God spoke. The Lord that Moses knew, the Lord who called and equipped and used Moses, spoke. After the death of Moses, the same God that Moses knew and enabled them to know and to follow, the same God comes and he speaks. And he speaks words of promise. So there's the death to start off with. The second point is the promise. And the second half of verse 1, we'll just follow the text through and take it chunk by chunk in the time we have tonight. The Lord said to Moses, to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Can you imagine the impact of these words into that nation, these people? Imagine the comfort that came upon them as they heard that. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you." Moses may have passed, I am still present, says the Lord. I will never leave you nor forsake you. What words of promise. And the first thing I think I want us to know under this heading is just the fact that the Lord knows the mood of the people. He knows the circumstances that they're living in. He knows what has happened. He's familiar with all that they've wrestled with. The Lord knows Moses is dead. He may be the God of the whole universe, heaven and earth, but he knows precisely what's happening in that geographical location amongst these few people. He knows that Moses is dead. He knows that the Jordan River looms large in the direction that they expect to be going. He knows that there are other nations who are poised to set on them the second they get over that Jordan River, if they get over. But the Lord's promise is not nullified. What he said before, he's continuing to say. Verse 3, "I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses." See, what God had promised since Genesis chapter 12, he's still promising in Joshua chapter 1. In spite of the obstacles that they could see, in spite of the opposition that they were anticipating, in spite of the dark mood that may be enveloping the whole camp, God speaks word of promise. And his promise seems even more weighty and impressive now than it did before Moses died. A word of application in the passing here. Just a word of comfort, I suppose. God still knows. He knew what was going on back then with these people. He knows what's going on here tonight in this room with us as his people. He knows your challenges and he knows mine. He knows the things that we think of when we wake up at 2:30 in the morning, scan through our minds. He knows the discouragements that we face and have faced and fear facing. He knows our fears. He knows our worries. And he still speaks. He speaks with words of promise. And his promises, which are many, are still valid for us here in Tarbert in 2018. Remember this morning, Jono, we're talking about the fusti bread, the rolls. They were done. They were past their sell-by date. Just throw them away. God's promises, his word, is never past its sell-by date. When we were out in the vestry before we began, Dom McSween was frittering around with bits of paper in his pocket. Somebody said, "Look at all the notes that they've got." Somebody else said, "That's £10 notes that he's got." He says, "They're not valid anymore. They're not valid." God's promises are currency that are always valid. If we want God's promise from Joshua chapter 1 in New Testament terms, Hebrews 13 is one place where it's picked back up and preached in force in our direction. In Hebrews 13 and verse 5, we read this: "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?'" It's God's promise to us. And that was God's promise to Israel. But in order for God's promise to become a reality, in order for them to grasp that promise and to know it in their own lives, there were conditions that the Lord set that were to be met. And that's the third point. There's the death of Moses, there's the promise of God that comes through his word, and then it's the conditions that the Lord outlines. And there's three of them here. The people were to look to God, and they were to listen to God, and they were to obey God. These are the three conditions. They were to look to God, they were to listen to God, and they were to obey God. First of all, they're to look to God. Look at verse 6. The Lord says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous." Then again in verse 9, same message. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged." So three times in two verses, they're told the same thing. Be strong and courageous. Look to God. Because that's the only way that they could be strong and courageous. Sometimes we hear of football managers who give a kind of team talk at half time. The team might be not playing as well as they could. They might be behind, and the manager will come into the dressing room and say, "Come on, guys, you know, we are the best players, we have the most money, we are a great team, we should be winning this. Let's go, let's do it. You can do it, you can." Did the Israelites here just need a kind of motivational, positive team talk? Well, no, they needed far more than that. Why were they told to be strong and courageous? Was it because the odds were good, in human terms, of them making progress into the promised land? Well, no. There was a series of miracles needed for them to be able to enter the promised land. Were they told to be strong and courageous because they had such a good track record of success in their own strength and in their history? Well, no. Their track record was miserable. They were an ill-equipped, they were a minute nation. Were they told to be strong and courageous because the Jordan River was just a burn, it was just a trickle, and they had their waterproof gear all set and ready? No, it wasn't. Just to get an impression of the Jordan River, the Jordan River was not a burn that we could skip over. The Jordan River was 1 mile in width. The currents were absolutely deadly. At this point in time, it was likely to be in flood. So the odds of any of them getting across that river were absolutely minuscule. So how could they be, and why should they be strong and courageous? Why should they not be terrified or discouraged? Well, the answer to that is because, verse 6, the Lord promised that he will lead these people to inherit the land that he swore to their forefathers to give them. The reason they were to be strong and courageous is because, verse 9, the Lord your God has promised that he will be with you wherever you go. So what would they have been called to do? They were being called to look to God. They were being called to look to God, not to look at this fast-flowing, dangerous Jordan River. Not to look at these aggressive, fearful foreign nations that wanted to eliminate them. They were not being asked to look inside themselves for inner strength that they could muster up. But they were being called to look to God, the God who promised that he would be with them, the God who proved many times in the past that he was faithful, the God who is the Lord God Almighty. Remember Peter, since we think much about Peter, when he's on the water, as long as he's looking to the Lord, he's walking, he's progressing. But when he looks to the waves, when he looks to those who surround him, he starts to sink. And we can see this whole nation sinking into a fear and a depression that would cause them to be stuck. And Joshua, as God calls them, encourages them to look not to themselves, not to anyone else, but to look to the Lord. And as long as they were looking to the Lord, they could be strong, and they could be courageous, and they could be sure that the Lord would go before them and would take them into the land that he had promised. I'm not even a quarter of the way through the sermon, but it's 7 o'clock. It's good to see the children, and I have promised that I'll finish at 7. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for this account that we have of how you ministered to your people so long ago. And we thank you, Lord, that we can say this evening that we are your people and you are our God. And Lord, we thank you that we can reflect on the fact that you know us, and you know all the concerns and the worries and the fears that we have. But we thank you that you call us to be strong and to be courageous, not to be terrified, not to be dismayed. And we thank you that as long as we listen to you, Lord, and we look to you, we are given that courage. And we are given that strength to be able to progress and to follow you. We confess, Lord, that often we take our eyes off you, and we are overwhelmed by the things that worry us in this world. We can be put off by the things that other people say, and we feel that we're starting to sink. But we thank you that as we cry out to you, as Peter did, as we ask you to save us, Lord, you hear and you lift us, and you set us on that steady ground. We thank you, Lord, that as we'll see as we go on, that the land that you promised to your people, you delivered them safely to. We thank you that all your promises are true and are dependable. We thank you above all for the promise that was made to your people Israel, that out of that nation would come one who would be the Messiah, one who would save the people from their sin. And we thank you, Father, that you have enabled us to see Jesus, who came and who lived for us, that life that we could never live, life without sin. We thank you that just as was promised, he became that man of sorrows, and he suffered and died to take the punishment for our sin. And we thank you that just as was promised, he rose from the dead. and has given us the assurance that all who look to him, all who trust in him, all who put their faith in him and all that he has done, that we are promised eternal life. We are promised that we will be safely delivered to the land that is promised beyond time in eternity. So help us, we pray, to lift our eyes from ground level, to fix our eyes upon Jesus, to think much upon the things of heaven, and Lord, to trust you. Hear our prayers, take away our sin. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing to conclude. As we go through even chapter 1 and then flick on to chapter 24, we're able to see that all that God does promise, he delivers. And we think about the fact from there that all that he has promised to us in salvation is delivered in and through Jesus. And we sing of that now.